Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. You know, stories really resonate with all of us. And today we are so privileged to have Jamie Cabe with us from the Forgotten Initiative.
So Jamie, we're so happy to have you here today. Can you tell us a little bit about your family?
Sure. And thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. Here.
Well, I am a mom of seven. Five of our kids we've adopted, two of them through international adoption and three through foster care. I've been married to my husband for 18 years. And our story is really one that, like, we never expected adoption to be part of our story. Mm. In fact, I remember years ago when my firstborn daughter was just an infant, I remember hearing a story of adoption on the radio. And something in me, I just actually got this sick pit in my stomach. And I said, Lord, I hope you're not trying to tell me something. And so that's where we were. And I always like to share that because it wasn't some big dream. It wasn't some, like, this is what we're going to do. But God, as he often does, you know, just opened our eyes. We started to become aware, and that awareness prompted in us curiosity. And so we started asking questions of people around us. Well, what is this thing of adoption? Or we started looking into it a little bit more, but just in a curious phase. And then we started to pray. Okay, well, maybe is this something, Lord, you're asking for our family? By this time, we had two daughters by birth. And we're just like, is this something for us? And so we started to pray. And as we prayed, we became available to this idea of adoption. And once we're available, that's when action followed. And to the point where we were in Guatemala adopting our first son, Hudson. And what's so cool is when we brought him back home, I remember sitting in his room, rocking him, and that same story of adoption replayed on the radio. And
this time
holding my son, I just said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing me this privilege of this thing called adoption. Mm-hmm. So God completely transformed and changed our perspective.
And he does that through prayer, doesn't he? When we stop and we get in prayer, like you said, we're like, okay, we're just toying with this. We're just kind of playing with the idea. No direction. I think Tara and I and you and all agree, no direction yet. It's just something big out there. But when we stop, he just makes his desires ours.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And that is what he did. He, all of a sudden, now we did have this desire for adoption because we had seen it and we were aware. And so now we wanted to adopt again. And this time, so Guatemala at that time had closed its doors to adoption soon after we brought our son home. And so we knew we couldn't adopt from Guatemala. So we looked into other, you know, countries and states, and we decided to adopt from the United States. And our desire and our hope was to adopt a healthy baby. And when you do domestic adoption, it's very different than international adoption. Mm-hmm. Where international adoption, you get a referral of a child and you decide yes or no. In domestic adoption, you still have that choice, yes or no, in the sense that I'm going to send out my pictures and my stories to birth families, birth moms, but they get the final say of I want you to be their mom or not. And so it was very different. And for us, it was just a story after story, opportunity after opportunity, birth mom said no. And this was devastating for me because I felt that, okay, God, you say this is a good thing and you've given us this desire. And why now are you saying no? Like, we're ready, we're open, and you're saying no.
Right.
And I remember the kind of roller coaster, as I describe it, started in the month of May. And this is when we heard about a little baby with Down syndrome who needed a forever family. And right away, that scared us to death. We did not have any desire or felt equipped to adopt a child with special needs. And yet, God took us in a matter of a few days, really, and just transformed our thinking and transformed our hearts. And so we were like, yes to her. We are ready for her. And then we had to wait and determine whether or not the agency was going to choose us or another family that had also presented themselves. And so I'll never forget getting ready, doing my hair, thinking I might meet my baby today.
Yeah.
And getting a phone call, and they said, it's a no. We've chosen the other family. And I just dropped on my bed and I just cried. And I called my husband. I said, Clint, please come home now. I need you now. And he did. He came home and he was with me. And really, for the next several months, like I already said, we went through just, and even years, went through no after no upon no, until now this is later in the year, November, and we're waiting on another birth mom to make a decision. And we're on vacation at this point. We're sitting at a breakfast table in a hotel, and I get the email on my phone, and I check it quick because I'm so excited, and it's a no.
Man.
Again. Wow. And I just break again. And my husband walks me up to our hotel room and he says, do you need me? And I just look at him and say, honey, I just need to be with Jesus right now. And I again fell on my bed and just cried out to God and said, okay, this hurts. I do not understand. I do not like this. Why are you doing this? It doesn't make any sense at all to me. And he just, you know, as God does, not in an audible way, but spoke very clearly to my heart, said, Jamie, look back in May when you were hurting and disappointed. You called Clint first. Now think about right now, Jamie, you're hurting and you're disappointed, but you're calling on me first. And that's for awesome. Me, that was like, yeah. And I thought, okay, I get it.
Right.
And you know how sometimes when you get it, you feel like, okay, you've taught me the lesson. Now it's time to reap the benefits.
Right.
And so I kind of had that sense. Okay, I think it's time. I think that's what God was waiting on. And now we know. And so we were waiting on another birth mom about a week or so later. And this time I had been at Walmart and I came home and I was grumpy because I had been at Walmart and I put my groceries all on the floor and just thought, okay, before I put this away, I'm going to check my email because I just had this expectancy. And I checked the email and it was a no. Again, the agency said, we do not understand why this keeps happening, but it isn't that she has chosen another family. And I just, again, it's just like one, it just felt like another blow and another blow. And I cried out to the Lord and just said, I do not understand. Help me understand. And it was almost as if he was in the room with me and he put his hands around my face, you know, held my face in his hands and said, Jamie, it's not about you. It's not about you. And it was shortly after that he just transformed my husband's perspective when I felt him say, it's not about bringing a child into your family. It's about bringing your family to a child. And that was November of 2009. And that's when he opened our eyes to this whole new world called foster care.
Well, I love that because I remember almost having a very similar experience when the Lord impressed upon me, it's not about you.
Right.
It's just not. It's just a much bigger story than just our families obeying the Lord. I remember Sunday, we were sitting in service Sunday, and our pastor said, you cannot grow spiritually. You cannot be mature with the Lord without pain.
Oh, yeah. That's so
true. And it's
true.
So true. And you know, I see it happen over and over in the adoption and the fostering process. And then, you know, continuing to raise our families, you cannot grow mature, you know, can't come to maturity with the Lord without pain. And man, Jamie, that's the story you're sharing today.
And we've said all along, Lynette and I've talked so many times before about how when we started this journey, it did seem like it was about our family, growing our family. But the picture that the stuff that the Lord was doing in the background and the way that he's moving the chess pieces, even to get us to where we're sitting today, talking to you, it's such a bigger picture than we could ever fathom.
And it would scare us to death if we'd known it on the front end. You know, Jamie, if you'd gotten your first placement, if I'd gotten my first placement, I mean, we had pictures on the refrigerator and we're like, okay, that's going to be our little girl. And then it wasn't, you know, and, you know, it's such a truth that I hope everyone can, really begin to understand today. If there's many walking through this process right now, you know, listening to us, that it can be a painful process.
And we've said a million times before that it's, you know, this whole journey is far more really about our sanctification as believers than it is even about how the Lord expands our family. And so even just watching and listening to the journey that you had in your sanctification and how you were growing more into Christ-likeness through the pain that the Lord was taking you through brought you to some really incredible,
you know, things that happened in your life after that.
Yeah.
And that never would have happened had you not walked that painful journey.
Yeah, had it been clean and neat and tidy, Jamie, we wouldn't be here today.
Right.
So true, completely true. And that's really what happened with us next, is kind of opening our eyes to this world called foster care and realizing there are kids who are waiting for families. You know, here we were a family waiting for kids, but there are these kids who are waiting. And I remember seeing a video of a little girl waiting in a foster care office. It was put out by an awesome ministry called The Call out of Arkansas. And they put out this video of a little girl waiting while the worker called and called and called to find a home. And everybody on the other end of the line said no.
Hmm.
And that really, I think, because of where we had been.
You had been the recipient of the no's.
Right, right. That it just broke my heart. And I was like, I did not know. I did not know this was happening in my community. And it rocked my world. And so I grabbed our three kids and we went to DCFS, our state foster care agency. Had never been there before, did not know what to expect. But I just walked in and I just went to the front desk and I said to a lady who I now know as Marie, where do these kids go? Can I see where they go? Can I see what they, I did not know, like, please help me understand. And so she walked me into the visit rooms where kids visit with their moms and dads. And I was just heartbroken because it was hard furniture, outdated, everything. Like, there was nothing there that said you are special. There was nothing there that felt warm. And I just said, okay, can I do something about this? Can we come in and redesign these spaces? Can we make them beautiful for these kids and these families? And ultimately, it took a few emails and a few conversations, but they essentially asked, are you going to pay for it? And I said, sure.
So let's call Clint.
Said, okay.
Clint, I need you.
Exactly. But I actually reached out to a bunch of friends and family on Facebook, and I said, okay, we have an opportunity to create a beautiful space for kids and their families. Are you in? And people just jumped on board. And I kept telling them, we're not, this is not about us getting rid of our leftovers. This is about brand new things for these families, helping them feel that they are special. And so people just jumped on board. People were delivering things to my door. We had a beautiful turnout of people coming. Just God brought the people with the right gifts for what we needed. And we went and created those spaces into beautiful spaces. And the couple things I learned through that experience is, one, it's not that the church doesn't care. It's that they just don't know how to help.
Yes.
Or maybe they don't even know at all. Like, I didn't. They didn't know that this existed and that there was anything they could do about it. And so that was huge. And then secondly, watching the staff and those professionals and the child welfare workers come around and just laugh and just like ask questions and be like, what are you doing here? I've never seen anything like this. It was incredible to see that. And so those were two things I learned. I always describe that as a puzzle piece of what God was building. And shortly after, I started to just, I had this curiosity, like, okay, I need to know more now. I need to know more. And I started meeting with agency workers and just asking questions, like, what do you need? If you could dream, like, what, how can we help you? Because there's so much that they do that we can't do, you know, and we need them to be doing that, but we can do a lot that can help lighten their burden. And so one thing I found out was just diapers. Diapers are a need, because sometimes, you know, they'll bring kids in and there's no diapers in the office. So they're literally having to run out to Walmart in the middle of this emergency or very painful transition time. That's not what they need to be doing.
Right.
They need to be stopped. So I called on friends and family, made a little video on my blog and just said, if we can care for these workers, they can better care for the kids. And they are doing so much. Let's just support them. And people started delivering diapers to my door. I wanted to get 100 boxes of diapers for these agencies in my town. And the speedy delivery truck, Amazon, I mean, everywhere was delivering diapers to my door. All across the nation, people were sending me diapers. Mm-hmm. And I was so blown away. But we did get over 100 boxes of diapers and wipes combined. I was able to take one of the agencies in my town, 30 boxes of diapers. And when I walked in there, I mean, they, again, were blown away. And I just could tell them, this is from the body of Christ.
That's
right. From God's people. We see you. We care about you. Mm-hmm. We just want to do what we can to help.
And everything just led from a mama with her three kids walking right. in and asking questions.
Yeah. That's exactly right. right. And not assuming you know what they need. Right. We've talked about that right. in past podcasts, and that's something Tara and I've tried mm-hmm. not to do here in Georgia. And just to say, what do you need? Ours needed yeah. snacks,
right.
you know, and just yep. clean books and things like that.
Because we had all kinds of ideas about what we thought they would need.
But they didn't need that.
Sat across the table, they said... That when we said, what do you need? I think they were so taken aback
right.
that they just didn't even, they were so shocked. But
correct, yes.
But then finding out what they need and then actually doing it. Because I know we have other friends who have done something similar to this, and they just kept saying, well, you know, we have people that come in a lot, and or not a lot, but they have people that come in and say they're going to do things and they don't follow through.
Yes.
But when
yes.
you do follow through, you are an ambassador for Christ. You are showing them the love of Christ. And so by continuing to be present and to be there for mm-hmm. them, it makes a world of difference.
And, you know, Jamie, absolutely. I love that picture of how the Lord's preparing mm-hmm. your family to step into the deep waters of foster care
right.
because your kids were able to touch it, see it,
yes.
smell it, be a part of it. And I think yep. that is so crucial to our families
mm-hmm.
that it's, you know, you do it as a family,
right.
that everyone's involved. They see it. Kids kind of begin to get it.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. God's working in everyone's heart in the family. And back to what
yes.
you were saying at the beginning, it's just not about us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much more of what he's doing.
So
yes.
where did that lead you? Becoming more aware, your curiosity, becoming availability, and your availability mm-hmm. becoming action. Mm-hmm. Where did that lead you next?
So at this point, we're also, you know, getting to those agencies. We decide we're going to take foster care classes because that's something else we can do as a family. If there are no kids seemingly that need us, as far as these babies that we wanted to adopt, we're trying that for over a year and that's not happening. Well, there are kids in our community who do need us. And so
right.
we took foster care classes. We really learned what foster care was. Even at the beginning of that, we thought, okay, we're going to foster to adopt. And for us, what we learned is that foster care is about caring for a child for a time, loving another family, like being a safe place for a time. And so we really fell in love with that vision. And we said, you know, we got to do this. We really had a heart for siblings. And we were just at this point, and we had been broken. We were just really open.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you want to do, Lord? Use us. We're here. We're ready. You've changed our perspective so many times. Like, what do you need? And so 2 days after our classes ended, we had already had our license because of, you know, going through the process a little bit different way, thinking we were going to adopt first. But 2 days after those classes ended, we got a call about two little boys who were brothers who needed a foster home. And they were 7 months old and 3 years old. And we said yes to them. And we were so excited to start that journey. And I remember the first, when we were waiting for them to pull in, we had actually been, in Florida when we got the call, and we came home, ran to the store, got all this stuff, you know, and waiting for them to pull in. I was so nervous. Like, we had no clue what we were about to embark in. We did not know.
Good thing. Yes,
it is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Who they were, what they were like. I mean, we knew very minimal information, but that caseworker pulled in at the same time our bus dropped off our 7-year-old from school, and I just remember her running in, are they here? We were all so ready to open our home to kids. And so I went out, and I remember seeing little 7-month-old Bobby, who just in his car seat, and seeing little 3-year-old Dade, who was so quiet and so scared, and just picking him up and saying, we are so glad you're here. And bringing them into our home. And that began our first foster care journey. And it was about 5 months after that their sister also needed a home, who was 2. And so God had been preparing us for that as well. And we said yes to her. And so at this point now, we had 6 kids, and they were 7, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Wow.
So, yeah. So as you can imagine, life turned upside down. We started to deal with, you know, we learned about developmental delays. We started to deal with that, some health issues that affected all of us that I got into this point of, we had head lice. I got into this point of feeling very, very vulnerable and like, okay, this isn't fun anymore. This isn't, doesn't feel safe. This isn't, you know, we're not these superheroes that you kind of want to go save the world. No, we're in the midst of like the battle and we are drowning. Mm-hmm. And I started to feel very low and started to think like, I'm pretty much a glass half full person, but here I would see kids playing outside. And when generally I would be like, I love my life, you know, this is awesome. I would look out and think, I can't do this.
Right.
And I remember feeling so afraid and vulnerable and like, okay, just every little thing that should have maybe made me feel a little concerned or a little like off, you know, but I would just like, I would feel so fearful. I remember when we had head lice, sitting in my leather chair, curled up thinking, this is the only place that maybe they can't get me. Like, it was just and walking through the basement just going, I can't do this. And then visits with their parents and trying to like love on their parents but feeling so vulnerable. And so ultimately that landed me in the doctor's office, to the doctor saying, you're depressed. Mm-hmm. And me feeling very broken about that, because okay, does that mean I don't love the Lord enough? Does that mean that I, you know, what's wrong with me? And I'd never experienced that before. And, but what the doctor taught me is that, you know, when so many things happen, and we had already been through that emotional journey for that 2 years, you know, the ups and downs and hopes, and then all of a sudden we jump into this, and now we have, you know, our family's literally doubled in size, and then we actually moved, and then I actually had to get my wisdom teeth out.
Oh,
and
gosh.
We had head lice, and we had staph infections, and we had all kinds of, you know, new things. And it's like your body is just in a spiral.
Right.
It doesn't know which way is up anymore. And so they talked to me about medication. I was very afraid of that because I thought that means I don't trust God, you know. And but ultimately I felt God sharing or saying to me, this is my provision for you. I've created doctors who know how to create medication, mm-hmm. and, you know, or scientists and all of this, and doctors who understand the benefits and the helps. And so I was able to get on that. And I'll tell you, in about 2 weeks, I remember driving kids to school, mm-hmm. and the sun was shining, and I said, it's a beautiful day, kids.
And all she's sudden, back.
Exactly. That's what I said. I said, I'm back. And that was my fear with medication too, is that I would be just this, like, I am a pretty positive person in general, but I didn't want to be like, oh, life is great and there's nothing wrong, because that's not healthy either.
Mm-hmm.
But what it did is it just made me feel like me again.
Right.
And I share that because I think still today there's misconceptions and there's people who feel like guilty if they feel like they have to take medicine or if they, you know, but the reality is sometimes we just need the extra help, and mm-hmm. that is okay.
Jamie, thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate your vulnerability. I know that there are a lot of moms who have probably experienced the very same things, and that will serve as a great encouragement. We are just so thankful that you are with us today. We really appreciate it. And we're going to have you hang on and talk to you a little bit more about the Forgotten Initiative and how it got started.
Oh, you guys, I appreciate it so much. It's been a great joy to be with you. And thank you for everything that you are doing. We are all in this together.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.